Ricardo LLC. The presentation of our case is a lack of record support for the achievement of the 99.8% competency standard. Our competency is between 99.7% with an extra 0.1% which doesn't sound like much, but it's 50% leverage. It's very important to us because of the variability of this case. But so if there is a record of one of your employees or someone's employee that may be able to achieve that in the moment, there is a standard by the HR advisors that that's in the record. What is in the record is an estimate. And there are two separate letters, one that our comments, March 14, comma, March 31st, 2014 comments, and KA 1926-27. And even more clearly in the PowerPoint is KA 1761, where we specifically say that the estimate covers the sort of objective measures. And that's really what this is for us, is how we handle variability caused by some of the objective measures.
It is the
And certainly EPA believed he was doing, because EPA believes that the SARCOS estimate includes the start of objective emissions. And they say that it's the rule itself in JA 330 and 339. And the quote there is that you also want to start of objective emissions, SARCOS estimate, but SARCOS estimate does include the start of objective emissions. And we told EPA that twice. And that's It does measure. We believe we've made 99.7, but we can't use 99.8. And the difference is in how we calculate it. We're able to start looking at when we weren't emitting anything, but it's basically 100% control of zero emissions. EPA's control efficiency standard takes out any report of operating. So in turn, we would have had no emissions and no zero emissions, just we need more time of startup relative to our operating time. And instead, it's 0.1% It is your honor, but the question is, can you comply or will you be able to use potentially based orders and no penalties for being able to achieve that based on giant difference to us? And we don't believe we can achieve that. That's why we're here. It didn't matter. We wouldn't be here. So we really just have to comply with the major issues here, which is what the SARCOS say was included in the estimate. We didn't include the structure. And we clearly indicate that they believe it did, and that's the only thing where we believe there's no record to support the 99.8. The second thing that EPA did that is in the record is the 1984 NSNES review. And in the 1984 NSNES review, they said that the 99.8 is theoretically achievable, but it's important caveat. And that caveat is it's only achievable, quote, during steady state operation, which is practically impossible, unquote. And that's a JA 402. Well, the steady state operation that allows us to achieve the 99.8 is practically impossible. How does that work continuously achievable, which is the BARD standard? And so we're being put here in this box where we can continuously achieve that 99.8, but we have to learn to quit it on the BARD. And so that for us is why it is important for us to get back to the 99.7. And that means that after the time, this is the question for the board. Thank you so much.
May I please report? My name is Carol Mogami, and I represent the state of Arizona.
I have a question for you.
We have standing in this case, Your Honor, because the citizens of Arizona have been impacted by EPA's rules and because EPA has failed to conduct itself in a way that would allow Arizona to retain and use the authority recommended by the
Constitution.
Yes, Your Honor, but the state of Arizona does have an interest in the federal government abiding its own rules because in future cases.
Right. I'm sorry. I just curse
No, Your Honor, but in this case, we do have a combination claim in effect. We have a state claim of SIP, a portion of SIP that the EPA approved, and it is hanging on to that claim. It's including the additional pieces that the EPA says are necessary, and that's inconsistent with what EPA showed us in the final rule. And EPA has exceeded that.
So now, you can't provide your SIP in this case?
No, Your Honor, what is that? That's correct.
Okay, Your Honor, I'm very curious.
Our concern is that EPA has failed to explain why it felt the need to institute the additional measures that its own evaluation confirmed. Won't make any difference at all. There's not a period.
Well, I just always argue this about comparing your SIP. I just need to offer it. It's just not offered. Just describe it again.
No, Your Honor, our concern here is only with the New York Red business about the Fed, and the Fed fails to explain the most critical piece of information that EPA provided in the entire rulemaking process. At the very end of the process, EPA released a table, and in that table, EPA indicated what we call a fit of fit, and that is the benefit of EPA's fit measures. A lesson is that the work you have to see that things that the benefit EPA expects to provide would have been 10 times higher for anyone to see us than any initial bar for one in this area. And that is completely inconsistent with what EPA said in the proposal. In the proposal, EPA said that its measures would substantially improve visibility. EPA looked at individual measures and claimed that each one of them would achieve at least a third of the standard improvement. And yet, EPA added up all of those components at the end and finally gave some analysis for which reasonable progress falls. There is no benefit to being on fire. There is
a benefit.
As compared to the test views, Your Honor, that is the effect expressed in the test views. The test view is
what?
It's the
effect.
The program calls for the error. I'm sorry, the baseline is the top of the errors has already achieved the same thing. The error coming through is partially improved, but the piece that comes the seat is not really an argument that we have to defend as we improve our own standard. It's not a substantial argument about the seat. No, Your Honor, it is not. It is whether the EPA's additional measures and fit are worth the hundreds of millions of dollars that the cost of the EPA has to evaluate its own regulations require.
I thought that any additional measures are
the different testing of EPA, the own regulations require EPA to consider that impact in evaluating the plan measures. That's why EPA understands the fit. Your Honor, it is the fit measures that EPA has not understood until the very end of the process to make no difference. It's a presidential issue. Above the policy of the SIP is not
going to stand. So then it doesn't make any difference at all. We're talking about it all right. It is all right. It makes sense.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. And in fact, it is a significant state farm problem. Educated answer to the same problem that this court found to be the most problem with the SIP is that the SIP appears to explain EPA is explaining to all why a SIP of this view is worth all the measures that are going to be on the SIP.
Is that
what
you're sharing? How much you're sharing?
No, Your Honor, this is a simple set of all these measures being imposed at one compliance deadline and will be imposed as a new cease to exist. So the best fears that EPA is talking about is not able to continue the trend and simply step back. The claims for the sweet companies are subject to a fit for reconsideration of the claims of the
but is this issue subject to
my
relevant to the romance before, which is EPA's decision last week to reconsider its legislation version. Set aside from all that seems to be as pertinent to that, there's not a ton of dispute left between the parties. We think the demonstration project is an appropriate and necessary. EPA's proposed to eliminate it because it's unnecessary. And if we had a state administrative or judicial in the meantime, it would allow for it to go
back. What's the timeline for the demonstration project? What was the practical matter? What do you have to do with the EPA?
As a practical matter, we've spent thousands of man-hours studying what kind of assets you have in your car system. In the next 6 months, we would have to sign on the dotted line to order the equipment. It's not off-the-shelf equipment, it's custom-built for our facility. If one says about that dotted line in the next 6 months, it's going to depend on whether or not there's a demonstration motion to effect.
We haven't made a motion yet. We're not sure if it's a demonstration motion. Maybe we say
the consideration decision came in very shortly before our arguments, and we think it did in effect. And if the court makes motions in order, we may find that. In the time remaining, I'd like to address two issues. First, that the demonstration project is not logical on the ground of EPA's proposal. Here, that what an affordable legal standard is goes a long way to the second question. This court's charges versus EPA case is, quote unquote, whether interested parties reasonably could have anticipated profitable making it from government reason justification by a motion for reconsideration. We have a problem, which is for reconsideration. And that raises the problem of what reason you review this at this point. We believe we have three reasons. First, EPA asserted in litigation that the demonstration project was justified and implemented in Section 114 of the Act. The reconsideration requirement of Section 307d7b only applies to certain enumerated categories of actions, and rules implementing Section 114 are not among those actions. For that reason, the standard that governs the demonstration project is the Administrative Procedure Act, which does not require a petition for reconsideration. There's no exhaustion requirement to pass the statute for not for reconsideration petitions. We cited the NRDC case for not
necessarily, but there is an exhaustion requirement, and it may be based on numbers for a limited one, and there's
also under the fundamental assumption strength of receiving the necessary.
So that those two documents are how you apply to this situation.
The fundamental assumption strength has been held to apply to 307d rules in the D.C. Circuit, and we cite the case in our brief as well, which I'm going to read. I'm going to see if I can answer that one. I'm going to see if I can answer that one. cause, the demonstration cause, and why is that? Because EPA's justification in the case of Ingers was that it implemented Section 114, which covers EPA's information based on the laws of Section 1442, and that means 14 U.S.C. 7414. And that is EPA's information gathering authority, and because that is the section EPA purports to implement, that was not one of the suggestions that's enumerated in Section 307.
But see, my understanding is that there is still an exhaustion requirement, maybe not as far as one, but an exhaustion requirement as the EPA in general.
If you're correct about that, Your Honor, but not for reconsideration petitions of hostile outgrowth claims, not to vindicate your right under 5 U.S.C. 153, for the agency to follow notice and comment decisions.
I don't understand the difference. It seems to have an exhaustion requirement, and you did, in fact, raise the issue of exhaustion reasoning, and you were so, because the EPA directly made a decision to revise our reconsideration.
What this court has held under the EPA in hostile outgrowth cases is that where the agency acts without adequate notice, that the agency's action is arbitrary and capricious because it's not supported by adequate notice, and that that does not need to be raised in position for reconsideration. By definition, you can never raise a hostile outgrowth claim in response to notice because the entire part of your objection is the final rules, not the product of the notice. So, let's say the agency agencies, it's the world we live in, and this practice of law, we are in charge.
So, under your theory of 7607, there would be the conflict between the decision and the article based upon the agency's power?
Absolutely not, because in none of those cases did the agency assert grounds for their decision that were not among those conditions listed in Section 307. Also,
you're saying that the difference between the EPA exhaustion and this exhaustion is no grounds for any law of reconsideration between the position and the state of its rights?
Exactly. You might say, if there's a question, the presumption runs in favor of judicial review, not against judicial review. We also
have to make any type of assessment of the merits of that.
Well, may well be, Your Honor, this very helps the construction project.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. The first is very narrow on the definition of speech as a politician quote. It is out of our court's basis of entire rule against the presumption. As we notice here, the EPA failed to respond to the question asking why EPA chose to compare constituents of food and drug. Questions. There's 2 points that we want to raise. The first is with respect to the non-speech and the argument as to whether EPA failed to provide a reasoned explanation for why it compared cost to choice and food. All the facts in this case are that EPA's own analysis showed that to the same cost, controls on another source would have much better impact. We asked EPA why. Their response was, we have to consider cost. We don't have to consider visibility. But we didn't ask why you consider cost means why did you compare cost to visibility? And nothing in the area precludes EPA from doing that or requires them to compare cost to visibility. So our simple question with respect to conservation evidence, we used a reasonable question as to another piece of the rule. We didn't have a response to the question because EPA failed to provide an explanation for our meeting here. We asked that you make the definition of the book about this.
So, following the law is coming order. Is this a reasonable progress source? That's our question.
We are a reasonable progress source. And this is critical. This is the stage here. But this is why, in our view, EPA has to explain why they use the measure to
were not a public source. Under our view of the law, EPA has an obligation to compare cost to disability. Under EPA's third view of the law, it's optional. So whether you agree with us that it's required or agree that it is optional, you still have to explain, and if you agree that it's optional, then you explain why it exercises the discretion of whether it's optional. That's the question you never have to answer. It's not in the record because the answer to the question we presented, frankly, we don't think we need it. Never enough of the right of the answer to that. So that's the question. On the demonstration program, I will point out that we did request a statement from the individuals there. We also requested a administrative state request for you to know which individuals have taken execution. And this is the invitation to the National Association of Trustees and for us to grant you that discretion. So if you were to come to me, you would agree with the funding you did request a statement. Your Honor, it's a question of our public meetings are unnecessary because of pending administrators that request for an agency for a rule that they themselves say is no longer necessary. Our view is that you have to exercise your discretion to grant that statement. That's a nice answer. Or if you agree with the
statement. My question is, you said you can't do it, you can't do it in 90 days. Is that a little thing? 90 days or what? Or is it
reviewable
90 days? Is
there something that you don't want? Well, it is 90 days under 307D. I think it was the law that was written in 1989. It is not 90 days. Whether it's reviewable or not, I don't know. My colleagues here will point out that they also have other standing authority in the Internal Revenue Procedures Committee, which are much longer standing. Today, the 90 days and 6 months ought to be sufficient if you're intending to follow through with their intentions proposal. If you are comfortable with the type of manner that gives us the relief we need, and you will agree to the sufficient
evidence. Is the liability rule, Harbor Bridge may charge the subscriber in the final rule of the district hearing. What part of the
record do you
search? Yes, this is JA365. This is a chart where petitioners are getting a specific search number, and the course will represent that the specific search is really just an encouragement. It's sort of a comparison between what the SIP work accomplished and what the SIP use accomplished. It's only relevant in that it's showing how the agency's work. What's really relevant is if you compare this column that says SIP 2018 RPG to the baseline, that's what's relevant because it's comparing those two numbers. That's the disability in coverage over the planning period. So you compare those two columns and you get the numbers. For instance, the RPGs are the yardsticks at the end that show what the real world conditions would be at the end of the planning period, and the modeling that looks at the imaginary national disability conditions. That's how EPA compares apples to apples when assessing what the social groups on the different systems. So that is something that has been officially approved in the North Dakota Circuit case. You can just say that is because what we call the loud room. If you remove the loudest voices from the loud room, at the end, the volume will change incrementally. But if you don't remove the loud voices, you'll certainly never get the social search in a quiet room. But when you want to compare what contribution those voices are making to the loud room, you pretend the room is empty, and that's what you get there. So, in that discussion, the point of that is just to explain that you can't compare the points for improvement from the Chautauqua area to the 85 contribution limit for BART results. Those are not all of the notes and comments claim that the challenges regarding whether EPA justified the total cost of kind of increasing progress goals, that question is barred. The non-functional exception claim is barred. And all of those, you're correct, we believe that those should go to reconsideration. Well, there's a final rule that the board is considering here, which goes back to the reconsideration portion. That revised standard for final so you would, for example, somebody were to try and bring it to the same thing that the code supervised to impose it on the everybody's role of the rules. Not only other issues, as I understand it, they were comments made about the issue that resulted in the agency doing something else, which are now claiming they have to affirmatively intercept the issue. But why is it good enough that there was a decision on the overall issue and the agency responded? And now that the challenge responds, that doesn't make sense to me. It's saying that the agency has to keep going through or whatever challenge was when, for example, when they decided to do the negotiating project, they said that they could fix it up to a certain percent and that's 4%. And you said, okay, well, let's do the space project. And that also has to be exhausted of the overall issue such that you should be able to look at it now. It just, in other words, you're going to have to finish. I understand your question correctly, Harry. If there was no objection, I don't know if there was no response to the objection, because I could have been, but there was an objection on the issue of what the proper level of credit should be. And his concern is that there's not an objection of reasonable specificity, and there's nothing for the agency to respond to. And he found that he was entitled to what someone for the agency to respond to, and he didn't respond. That's where the objection is on the record as to the control of the agency, and that's where the DNA responded to. Of course, we know none of these objections about what costs are being incurred during the demonstration process, and so that there's just no one asking questions about racial specificity means in this exception. That's why I couldn't be saying, well, racial specificity has to relate to what was said before you or the time that the comments were coming in, not just on behalf of the animals. And if we were to look at it, it would be, well, is the EPA have enough to respond to such that this court can review what changes that this court has to go and look at what EPA says in response to objections. That's what the arbitrary and capricious standard requires. So if there's no objection with enough specificity, then EPA could respond to it. So I just feel so much to do with this right now because I've only seen so many instances this week with some of the young authors. Control plant while you're deciding about the reconsider or something that they have no way in chart of dealing with, which they can't control with it. And it was what your whole decision was in response to something that could have been raised. And now they're you know, have to spend $1 million while they're considering their motion to reconsider. It is like a never issue that's not the way they're other issues that could be, as I understand, require you to file a financial. It's important to understand that these deadlines do not come due for 2 years. At this point in time, there is no reconsideration. I'm sure there's a first hearing about some rights for the tomorrow. If that were the case, there are other remedies. There is some unreasonable delay on that reconsideration. They could bring in a reasonable delay for the jurisdiction for that, and it's true. And if you have any other questions for the agents, one is there is this fundamental reset or something rule that I know works through NEPA, for example, and it's only been applied here, that there are some things that you just know what to do, how you use our sensors, how you solve. There are challenges that are just obvious things, you don't have to, I think you're referring to the assumptions period that the challenge has raised. It's never been entirely clear to me that it applies in the entire context of Washington County, where he says, well, because there are very specific requirements in the entire context, I think it does. We think what that would apply to would be sort of fundamental basis and purpose of the post-planning requirements in 307D6 that says every proposed rule has to get from the basic statement of the authority and purpose for the We think that's what it is. It starts out what the injury is, what you need to explain yourself in its language. It's just because you just want to know that you're going to be in energy. But what we see is that was related to an injection of a false injury, what you did to explain yourself. What we think it is that the system that you went through in your body takes yourself in to explain yourself in response to what you think. Only so you can explain yourself why you should do something. But you don't have to explain yourself. We have to call back to you and explain yourself.
No, I think the response was, in response to a specific objection, that would be reviewable. And if the comment says, we think there should be a 35% rate, which means this rate were to lower it to 40, I mean, that's already been up for discussion. The argument is that the agency rate should not be reviewable if that's within what we think they have to respond to.
And if they have to say, I think it was your neighbor, I think it was your neighbor, or is that what they said? Is it too strong to do at all?
I mean, the issue is that the demonstration process, there's no record based on any specific concerns that the agency has raised. So there are concerns that have to do with, as I understand them, costs incurred several years overhead.
That's what the question is. One is, what about your wife marching on
that? The thing is, that the EPA has to, under Section 169 and 110, those are the provisions that authorize the EPA to issue a definition of emissions. And then there's a definition under 3HCG that says, the emissions include operational standards. What we said in the brief was that EPA additional authority under Section 114 is that we don't think that the incentive of 307 D needs to not apply. But even if it doesn't, there is still a disclosure requirement to the EPA.
And
it's
another question is, the requirement of the statute is to have people in here to be commentary. That's what it's called. But what commentary is Section 2, right? So if, for example, you were going to play something in there, you place it in commentary. So is there some standard for each of the members who stick close to the commentary and put it in something that is
controversial? I mean, at some point, the process is different. At some point, if there are comments that EPA rebuts, and then, what if you extend it, and then there are comments that EPA rebuts, then it takes a waiver process for EPA to get that proposal. Commenters say, hey, you should really find this for one reason or another, and EPA announces that in some instances, it does remove itself, saying, you can find that somewhere else is serious suggestions that you can make comments about the charges from it. Even if it's not happening here, we think that what EPA did was, they were looking for what is the sheet goal on our SSER and how much data is on the investment.
Sorry, not the affirmative investment.
No, the affirmative says what was before EPA was closely incorporated with Arizona. Supervision or not, that's all that was before EPA. And I'm looking for us to be aware that there is a simple that covers definition of EPA's new position on health options to go now to 36 states. That's a challenge right now in the DC Circuit. So that is
the focus for it.
What the simple does is it asks states to revise their statutes to that they're consistent with. What the DC Circuit said was that a deviation in authority to personal support jurisdiction or to personal citizens' ability to bring citizens to the province of the water
was fine. Something happens, there's a brain that works, something where it causes
nearly impossible to come up with what emissions in her hearing television would be, so by their nature, unpredictable. Is it a momentary blip that lasts for a couple of hours, or are they completely offline for several weeks? So the only thing an emission limit for hearing malfunction could be is there's no emission limit.
Well, but if you want to see a case of the so-called affirmative defense, is it still a defense that there's probably
EPA? No. It's not true at all. What EPA is that?
It's just a fact. It's what EPA is that it's a service
interpretation. That's correct. There are other things that can happen. For example, EPA always has enforcement discretion. EPA is always saying, you know what, this person has a hearing malfunction. This is for Dr. Martin.
And what's the point of this?
Well, in that instance, then, the opportunity to erase this is for Dr. Martin. The court has to have authority to present this. But this is just a statute that EPA has to have the authority to
enforce. And is the interpretation of EPA's discretion to undermine or enforce them? Is that the interpretation that brought this up? Any issue with the assertion of affirmative defense?
EPA has the authority to enforce.
There's a point of this assertion, but then you can sense the...
What I was referring to is that the D.C. Circuit decision was about this other issue. It was a hazardous substance standard. The photo of the thing you're referring to refers to the D.C. Circuit case. It was basically just saying that breakdown in the way that it was a different case law about SIPs and smart regional SIPs. But what EPA said is that the rationale that the D.C. Circuit used, it applies equally to the media application of SIPs. This is super interesting. Those alternatives are referring to startup shutdown malfunction, things that are predictable, things that you know will not be very predictable. But periods of malfunction are fundamentally different. You just predict them. You don't know what they're going to do. So I guess that you should just sort of, I mean, as people, I know how much time I'm going to be by the day, so I can't stop watching the news. Sure, exactly. So what EPA does is just the most expensive thing to set up, you know,
all of these steps in a demonstration practice poll, which is a statistician in a demonstration project, called reporting, is a two-year window. In our mind, that
demonstration is not about demonstration projects, but the
initiation of the demo against the superintendent.
Was the initiation already published, but such a demonstration
project? No, the demonstration project is a separate requirement.
Right, so you're saying that what you said, that the demonstration project that is demonstration is wrong?
That's what James, that's what he is wrong. It's a situation where we're conducting a sphere after the business board, and that the sphere has to be done long before the we're required to do the demonstration period. All that has to be done before the effect. If for any reasonable thing went to, is you need to make sure that you're complying with it and see if you're before the effect. That's what we intend to do during this effect as we get these demonstrations as well. We keep waiting, we keep on risk during the experiment before it and we see the results. From our standpoint, the demonstration project starts at the moment. That's why it's important to us. That's why we put so hard for us to move stuff to the
office. So why first change the cells in that?
Well, we requested this course during more than each step. We requested one from the EPA in November 2013, this morning.
And all that's for registrations
and this first month that we raised any reconsideration in January 2015, it took no action on pursuit requests and upgrades. Now, at the time, we were then pursuing staying before this court. But here's what we asked for.
Here was why reconsideration was raised. We don't have anything since reconsideration
was
raised. I'm just saying that the rule should be
that with respect to compliance with the definition of
sex is gay.
No, we have not. We asked this court for an opportunity. We did not ask immediately. I'm sorry.
That is how much is in person.
We had an open step request. It's not sure what I'll speak with when it comes to the EPA.
Very complicated and difficult to understand.